We're ministering along the lines of making our lives count, to live lives of impact. It's impossible to do that without having a generous heart. And so the topic of that we're going to be preaching on this morning in the context of our series, Making Change, is that giving is good. Giving is good. This video is incredibly inspirational. I must admit, I was very inspired when I saw it for the very first time. But at the same time, it's challenging. It's inspiring, but it's challenging. Because it challenges us in the sense that it confronts some of our preconceived ideas about what we are living for. It challenges the very things that we consider important to us. And so I trust that stirred something. It stimulated us this morning and opened up our view, our perspective, that there's more to life about me. There's a world out there to be reached. There's people out there that need to be impacted through that which we as Christians have, the power of the gospel. Profound quote that came from that video, and it landed with this, where the narrator says that life gives you not what you want, it gives you who you are. And so in the context of this video this morning, in the context of the truth that we're going to hear, I'm wanting to ask us, who are we? In the context of how we're living our lives. Who are we in the context of what's important for us? Who are we in the context of how we're sharing that which we have been given? So we're going to be speaking about generosity this morning. And I trust this morning there's going to be a response that'll come from the question of how am I personally impacting my world? I do want to acknowledge this morning that being generous can be a challenge for many. Being generous can be a challenge for many. It's a sensitive topic. I think many preachers are at times reluctant to preach on this topic of generosity. And I'm speaking broadly this morning on this topic of generosity. I'm not limiting it to finances. It can be a sensitive topic. We are reluctant to preach on it because there is potential for it to be manipulated and for us to manipulate the church. Alternatively, the church can be very excited about not hearing a message on generosity because then we're not challenged in giving. So it's sensitive two ways. We do need to be wise when we're dealing with this topic of generosity. And again, as an eldership, I trust this morning we're not going to manipulate. We don't want to manipulate people into giving. But we also don't want to rob the church. We don't want to rob us of the opportunity to be a blessing to this world that we live in and we live amongst, having an impact. And so very importantly, the foundation this morning is to know and to understand the heart of God will help us with our convictions. His desire for us, His commands in the Word will determine or should determine how we live our lives, how we invest our time, how we invest our treasure and our talents, the very things that He has given us to enjoy, to be a blessing, but to be a blessing with. It will be very sad if we only live in the blessing, what God has given us for us, and there's no outflow. I had a picture in preparing this week of people, many people, and I'm not just saying us, I'm talking about the church living with seed. They have seed in their hands. And often that seed remains in the hand or it remains in the pocket. It's never sown. It would be sad if that which God has given us remains with us and it's not distributed, it's not dispersed, it is not sowed amongst this world that we live in. Amen? We serve a God, and the Bible that we read depicts, gives us a picture. And Jono just so wonderfully took us to the scriptures this morning and showed us the generous heart of God. This God who is so lavishly generous, so lavishly abundant, and what He gives, gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to us. There's no greater price to pay, no greater gift to give than to give your own Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrated last weekend over Easter. His lavish, not little, lavish, abundant generosity expressed to you and I in the giving of His Son, a divine sacrifice for humanity. What a great gift. What a great gift. Every moment of our day, we should be honoring that gift. Jesus Christ. Every moment of our day, that which Jesus has given us. The Bible says we have been enriched through Him in every way. Everything that He has given us, we should be honoring God with that. Not because we have to, not because the elders tell us to, but because God is generous. And because He is generous, I'm wanting to reflect His character and His nature and be generous in return. Give glory to Him. This perspective of God's generosity towards us. I pray we don't walk away from your friends today without having a fresh understanding, a fresh perspective of God's generosity. This perspective of this divine generosity helps us take on His character and His nature, and we live generously. So in the context of our sermon series, Making Change, we're going to touch this morning on the topic of generosity. In a short time, we're going to try to cover a lot of ground. But I trust more this morning that through the Word, God, by His Spirit, grips a hold of our hearts. We begin to take the seed that we stored in our pockets. Maybe we begin to take the seed that we're holding fast in our hands and we begin to sow it as God intended. That He has our hearts. You see, when He has our hearts, friends, our hands will be open. When He has our hearts, our hands will be open. And so we're going to touch this morning on the topic of generosity. And it's not limited to, but it includes tithing. So I'm going to touch briefly on that this morning. So the title of our message this morning is Giving is Good. Giving is good. The Bible tells us that giving is good. So Paul, speaking to the elders in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 20, Verses 35, the second part of that scripture. Paul's echoing the heart of Jesus Christ. And I trust that this is an echo that's loud in our ears and settles in our hearts this morning. This is what he says to the elders in Ephesus. He says, it is more blessed. It is more blessed. Emphasis on more blessed to give than to receive. You note that Jesus didn't say it is more blessed to receive than to give. It is a blessing to receive, but it is even more blessed to give that which you have received. It is a blessing to give. It is a blessing to be generous. Generous. To be sorry? A Greek word. We're getting to a Greek word just now. But it is more blessed, friends, to give than it is to receive. And yet so often our lives can be consumed with continually receiving, 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 but never giving, or being very limited in giving. Jesus, what he's saying here, is he's actually challenging, in Paul's words, the mindset of a consumerist mentality. It's all about me. It's all about my wants. It's all about my desires. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Receive, receive, receive. And Jesus is saying, actually, everything I've given you is not just for you, sir, ma'am. Not just for you, Nick. He says, I've given you everything you have so that you might also be a blessing. There has to be an outflow. There has to be an outflow if we're to bring glory to Him and honor Him with the things that He has given us. And again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. They obviously needed to hear about this. He says, you'll be enriched. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. He says, you'll be enriched in every way. So that every way encompasses everything. Every way is everything. You'll be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can be fattened on the fullness of God? No. So that you can be generous on every occasion. Receive the blessing to enjoy the blessing, but outflow so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What he's saying is that as you give, and the context there is that they sowed stuff to Paul and to the apostles. And Paul and the apostles took that which was sowed by the local church and they used it for the advancing of the kingdom. Amen. And he says that as you're giving, whatever they gave, it could have been finances, it could have been all sorts of stuff, like we have been generous in the fires that happened in Knysna, I think it was last year. says that giving, that stuff that you sowed, was a blessing beyond you, and that resulted in thanksgiving to God. God was honored in that giving, in the fruit of what you gave. And so Paul again is highlighting that our thankfulness to God for what he has done for us, our thankfulness to God, highlighting that which we have through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying that our thankfulness is measured through our generosity, not just the songs that we sing, not just the word that we read, but our thankfulness, gratefulness, appreciation, honoring of God is measured through our generosity. It's amazing. It's when we impact somebody else's life beyond my own needs, when I'm driven, consumed, motivated, stimulated to impact other people's lives beyond me. He says that results in thanksgiving to God. In fact, it's worship. Generosity is worship. The reason, if you haven't got it by now, that we have been enriched is to be a blessing. The reality is if there's no outflow, and herein there's an inverted question, if there's no outflow from my life, then it must be I'm living with a consumerist mentality. Then it's about me and my needs. And there's several reasons for this kind of mentality. Might have heard this message, might have seen this message preached, and being abused and manipulated. And there's a lot of that happening. That where the word of God has been used and abused to manipulate people into giving. And so one of the things is a prosperity gospel, and you've been hurt through that. Say, well, I've been hurt by that. It's been abused. So I'm just going to hold on to my seed. I'm not going to release it. Or maybe you've been struggling financially. You want to give, but you can't seem able to give. Because there's just this deep black hole of debt. That's why we preached on debt, so that you might be free and be able to give. Might have a poverty spirit, scarcity mindset. I've only got a little bit. I'm going to protect that little bit that I have. And I live my life according to what I see in my hand. Friend, it's a lack of faith. When we live with a poverty mindset, we serve a God who is so massive and so abundant and so lavishly generous. And so often he says, take that little bit that you have, sow a percentage of that little bit and see how I'll increase it. And we'll look at that just now. I'm reminded of a friend in Peter Maritzburg, incredibly generous man. And every day, used to drive past the beggar, used to stand at Chapel Street Robots and used to beg. And every day he stopped, and you'd give that man some money. And then the one day he stopped, he says, listen, buddy, he says, every day I give you money, but yes, I have a need today. Can't you give me some money? That beggar, little bit that he had, took five rand out of his pocket, and he gave it to Steve, and Steve drove off. That beggar didn't live with a scarcity mindset. He didn't live in smallness. He took that 5 rand, might have been all that he collected that day, and yet he gave it. The next day, Steve drove past and he gave him 10 bucks. Blessed to be a blessing. And I would trust and I would hope that that beggar gave more. But it was just an amazing picture. It's an amazing picture. This beggar every day begging at the robots in rags, filthy, doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. Yet he took 5 rand out of his pocket and he gave it to a man who asked. He didn't live with a scarcity mindset. Didn't live in a poverty mindset. That's all I've got and I'm going to hold on to it. I'm just going to ask people to give me more. No, I'll sow what I've been given. Many of us live like that beggar at the robot, the traffic light. That's all I've got. I'm not going to give anymore. I'm not going to give anything. Solomon's God-giving wisdom, as recorded in the Bible, is a wise man. Remember, he said, Lord, give me wisdom so I might lead these people. And his wisdom is recorded in the Word. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 to 25. And I'm just reading out of the Message translation here. I think we've got it up on the screen. This is what Solomon says, so true. He says the world of the generous. The world of the generous. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25, the Message translation. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. What he's saying there is that the world of the stingy, when it gets smaller and smaller, your life is not having any impact or any influence. Small world, about me, myself, my needs, my family needs. That's it. That's the limit of your impact and your influence. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, as I've already referenced, he says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Generosity, as I've already said, is part of our worship towards God. It's part of worship. As much as lifting up our hands in adoration of this great King who is worthy of all praise, our giving, our generosity, whatever we give, is part of worship towards Him. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus again challenging a consumerist mentality or a mindset. This is what he says. He says, those of you who do not give up everything, those of you who do not give up everything that you have cannot be my disciples. Now, he is not saying give everything away. Spiritual lesson. He's not saying give everything away. He's saying give up everything that you have. He says bring it under my authority and my rule. If you're not prepared to bring it under my authority and my rule and my instruction, you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's what Jesus is saying. He says all our stuff, our cars, our houses, our income, our gifting, our talents. He's saying bring it under my authority. My instruction, because if we bring it under His authority, His instruction, then we'll use it as He directs. And if He says give, we'll give. And if He says give lavishly because He is asking us and it'll honor Him, we'll give it willingly and obediently. Money, time, talent, gifting. To be generous with those things. God's giving us all of that. You know, time has been given to us by God. Amen? Given us by God. He set the world on its axis. He set the time. He's given it to us. If we are not under His authority in this context, then we are the determiners of how we live, how we view life. And we know our own life. I know my own heart. I know what resides, all the wrestles that I have in my heart. Am I the only one who has those things? I should be doing this, I'm doing that. Others, please identify with me. I hate being alone in this. Yeah, thank you for being honest. I think we all have those wrestles. Wrestle of the heart, shall I, shouldn't I, can I, can't I? Yes, Paul, the apostle, has that wrestle constantly. And he writes it in the scriptures. We know our own hearts. There are times that we tend to be self-gratifying, tend to be consumerist by nature. And so this morning, under this topic of making change, giving is good, I trust and I pray that God's truth, His Holy Spirit, friends, working in our lives will break selfish patterns, will help us live generous lives, glorifying God and impacting our world. This is not a Nick message, friends. This is the Word of God. I just simply have the privilege of being able to share it with you this morning. And so generosity, I'm going to start with tithing this morning. There's been a massive debate, and there is still a debate raging around this topic. There are many differing opinions. And so some will say, and we don't have time to unpack them all, but one of the biggest defenders of why we shouldn't be tithing is that it's an Old Testament practice, and under the New Covenant, we are no longer expected to tithe. I don't know about you, but my Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, talks about tithing. And if the Bible says that we should do it, I'm wanting to do what God says in His Word. So I'm going to be obedient to that. So I'm not going to argue, say, well, there, defend it here, you know, justify it there. Bible says it, do it. That's enough for me. The Bible says do it. I'm wanting to honor God, honor His truth, so I'm going to do that. But I'm of the opinion that if it's in the Bible, New and Old Testament, as God's command, then it must be obeyed. That's my foundation that I'm going to work from. That's my personal conviction. Irrespective of differing opinions, I believe there's enough biblical scriptural evidence throughout the Bible that God still wants today, 2018. We are in 2018, eh? Yeah. He still wants His people to tithe as a spiritual discipline. So in the context of tithing, generosity, God, in His lavish abundance, okay? This is a context, lavish abundance. He asks us to be obedient in tithing 10% of the first fruits of all that He gives us. So in the context of income, He says, I'm wanting you to tithe the first fruits of your income, 10%. I believe that 10% is a starting point. Imagine if God didn't say 10%. Now just be honest with yourself. Don't shout it out. Just be honest with yourself. If God didn't say 10%, how much would you really give? I would assume it would be less than 10%. I'm making an assumption. Might be right. God wants us to be more generous. I believe that He probably asks us to give more than our first fruits. It's a starting point, as I said. So Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, Old Testament, says a tithe of everything. Some translations say one-tenth. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil, fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So He says, this tithe, this 10% that I'm asking you as an obedient command of mine to set apart as belonging to me. That's what God is saying. It's actually set apart to the Lord. You know, in Malachi. Some guys pronounce it Malachi. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it's the only place in the Bible that God says we are to test Him. As far as I'm aware. Devin can correct me if I'm wrong. The only place, as far as I'm aware, where God says, actually test me. This is what God says. He says, bring the whole tithe. The whole 10%. That's what He's saying. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Then He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. So in fact, what He's saying is, He says, worship God with your first, worship God with your best, and then trust Him to bless the rest. So if we worship God and we are faithful and obedient with that 10%, that in fact that small amount in the context of everything that we've got, if we bless Him and we honor Him with that amount, He says, you can trust me. Test me in this. Trust me to look after, to protect you, and to give you favor upon the rest. And He draws a picture, which we don't have time to look at further on. He says, well, if you don't, the devourer will come and chow all of that stuff that's left. Test me in the giving of that 10%, and I will protect the rest that you have. I just want to share maybe a personal testimony. We wrestled with this thing of tithing, Shelley and I, as we were forming our convictions and our obedience to God. Didn't come easy, be honest, to tithe. But when we purpose that, Lord, we want to follow you with all of our hearts, all of our lives. We're going to be obedient. If you say tithe, we're going to tithe. So we started to tithe. Then we needed to move to a slightly bigger house because the kids were growing. We needed some space. We bought a house just down the road from the church. Interest rates, I think, were at about 17%, the bond rates at that stage. Bought the house. They shot up to about, remember those days, somewhere near 23%, like a 6% increase on the bond rate. Now we say, Lord, we're going to tithe. So, you know, my salary is like 6%. Where are we going to find that? So I'll be honest with you. My first thought was the tithe. I can go to that. So I can justify it. Lord, you know, we need a house to live in. You know, we got to be comfortable to be able to serve you. We have those arguments with ourselves. You wrestle these things. I'm just being real with you. But we said, actually, God, we said we would honor you and tithe. We're going to be obedient to your word. And you promised us that you would look after, you would bless the rest. We tithe. Don't know where the money came from. I'm telling you, it's a supernatural thing. To this day, we don't know how we paid for that house because the expenditure was way more than the income. But every month, we were able to pay tithe first, bond second, everything else. And we lived. And it's been a pattern for us, friends. From that day when we took that stance, when we made that stand, we said, Lord, we are going to trust you and we are going to test you. That word test means trust in the good sense of the word, to take care of the rest of our finances. And it's been a discipline that's been entrenched. Irrespective whether we've had lots or little, we're going to tithe. And God has been faithful, hey, my love. We have not gone hungry. We have lived, and we have lived well. Don't wrestle with God, friends. Just be obedient. If we worship God with our first and our best, then we can trust Him to bless the rest. It is a supernatural dynamic. I can't explain it. I can't go back and show you spreadsheets of I did X, Y, Z. All I can say is I have a budget. On my budget, top of the list was tithe. Everything else fell into place. God looked after us. Period. It's supernatural. It became a priority in our budget. Tithing became a priority in our budget. Why? Because God and His authority over our lives was a priority. Amen? You see, friends, when we prioritize our lives around God, then we begin to live obedient lives. And we begin to learn valuable faith lessons about who God is and how He cares for and He provides for His people. We begin to lean into His faithfulness. And then we begin to experience His protection and His favor without reservation. We learn about His abundance. When we look at life through what we earn, and it's limited to that, then we're looking at it through natural eyes. But when we look at life through God's eyes, learning to trust Him and be obedient to His commands, what He does is He unlocks and He shows us His abundance. We experience the abundance of God. We had little, yet we were able to enjoy great holidays. Came from left field. God just supernaturally provided for us. Prioritize God, honor Him, and He will look after the rest of our stuff. I trust that's an encouragement to you. We learn about His abundance, that He is my provider, and He will take care of my every need. And I tell you what, it's been a liberating way to live. It has been a liberating way to live. It's interesting to note that Malachi highlights that the tithe is to be brought to the storehouse. This is not the storehouse across the road, by the way. Yeah. We are being biblical here. It's not that church that's across the way there. They're a great church. The storehouse in this context, Malachi is referring to the temple, the storehouse in the temple that stored the grain, that stored the offerings that were brought to the temple. So in our context, in our day, storehouse is our local church. It's our local church. And so the storehouse is the place from which resources are sowed. And so our storehouse, in our context, is not another ministry or another parachurch organization, but the local church. The place from which you are spiritually fed and developed is your storehouse. So you bring your tithes to the storehouse. So I have nothing against parachurch organizations. I have nothing against sowing into other ministries. We've done that at times. We've done that at times. But the tithe comes into the storehouse, the place where you are spiritually fed and developed. And giving to parachurch organization and other ministries is over and above your tithe. That's what I believe biblically. That's what I think we believe biblically as an eldership. I would hope that we believe that as an eldership because we're a team together. So Romans chapter 12 verse 8 refers that generosity is a gift from God. But I understand that generosity doesn't come naturally to everyone. Can I say that again? Generosity, I understand that generosity doesn't come naturally to everyone. So for those of us who aren't naturally generous, we need to have a plan to be generous. For those who have the gift, it's just like there are some folk who have the gift. It's like they're always giving. It just comes so easy. They just give, 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 and there's no end to the giving. It comes. They have the gift of generosity that Romans chapter 12, 8 refers to. For those of us where it's not so natural, we have to develop a plan. Isaiah 32, verse 8. New Living Testament. Isaiah writes, he says, generous people plan to do what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity. Generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. So plan means that we look for opportunities to be generous. And there are always opportunities to be generous with our time, to be generous with our treasures, and to be generous with our giftings, our talents. Develop generosity as a habit. And what he's implying is that it's not a once-off. He says, stand firm. So he says, when you have a plan in place and you purpose, you're going to be generous, look for something to give away, in other words. Look for something, not something that's got holes in it. or tears in it, give something that's precious to you. And then develop this habit by keep on giving, not a once-off. That's how you have a plan. And the more you do it, the more it becomes a habit. And the more it becomes a habit, the more naturally it happens. So generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Can I say again, it's not about the amount. But it's a heart attitude. It's not about the amount, but it's a heart attitude. And so Mark chapter 12, you can turn there. Verses 41 to 44. Jesus speaking. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put. And he watched the crowd putting the money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Jesus, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. Why? Because the heart attitude was important. So probably what would have happened is that the rich who had so much were waving their offering around like, check, 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 look what I'm giving, clink, clink, everybody see, announce it. This woman brought her little bit, quietly would have put it into the offering basket. Jesus notices it and he says, this widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth. In other words, they could afford to. They had abundance. They had plenty. And I'm not against that. He says, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, She, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Like that beggar standing Chapel Street at the traffic light and taking R5, probably all R5 that he had collected that day, and giving it to Steve Wimble on that morning. Gave everything that she had to live on. Everything that she had to live on. This is the type of giving that Jesus is asking us to give. And again, can I say, friends, it's not just money. This message on generosity is all-encompassing. It's wider. It's time. It's treasure. And it's talents. It's the very seed that God has given us to sow, to use for His glory. To use for His glory. And as we use it with the right heart attitude, when we use this seed and we sow it, and I wish I had bird seed to throw out this morning. If we sow it abundantly and scatter it, God is glorified and honored in that. Not man, God is. I'm reminded of Paul's prayer for his friend Philemon. And before we go there, Philemon, Philemon, depends which nation you live in. We have multiple opportunities here at Bay City Church for you to be able to give, for you to be able to sow your seed. Multiple opportunities. And often you hear about the opportunities. Family Camp, we're going to be speaking about some of those. Areas of involvement. There are many areas of involvement that you can be involved in. God is saying in this season, in the context of this message, take your hand with that seed and begin to sow it. Bring glory to my name. Philemon chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. New Living Translation. And this is our prayer. For us, Paul is saying, I am praying that you will put into action. Jesus is asking that you will put into action, church, the generosity that comes from your faith, not generosity that comes from manipulation, generosity that comes from your faith in Jesus Christ as a result of what He has done for you, as a result of what He has given you. Paul saying, I pray that the generosity that comes from your faith, and as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love, he says, has given me much joy and comfort my brother. He's writing about a man who served generously. He says, your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often, not once off, has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. What an incredibly beautiful prayer that when we know and understand what God has given us, our faith, friends, requires that we honor Him, that we bring glory to His name in the way that we use what He has given to us. Let us live with empty pockets. They will be empty for a time. God will fill them again so that we can be generous on every occasion. What a wonderful way to live. Yet so often, spiritually, physically, practically, we live our lives like this, because we're scared we're going to lack. God says, trust me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and bless you. This is not slot machine prosperity gospel. This is worship of this great King who gave His life for you and for me to impact this world, reaching out to impact this world with His love, with His grace, and with His mercy. Does it require resources? Yes, it does. Does it require talents and gifting? Yes, it does. But it means we need to be generous if we are to fulfill it.